Now, that was Patricia, live from the Gaeltacht in Agunlo, and on that. And we're now joined by one of our colleagues here, Luke Fleming. Luke, you're welcome to Saturday Chronicle.
Good morning, Tom.
Don't tell me you were working late last night, were you?
I won't.
You were. So, we decided we'd talk a little bit about electric vehicles and EVs, and as you and I are fully converted, and I described Patricia earlier on as a sort of a half-breed or a crossbreed. She's has a hybrid vehicle, which is, she's halfway there, so she's more than interested in what we do, you know. And we could talk for hours on this.
Yeah, it can be a very complicated topic, and I think there is a huge issue certainly in this country in relation to what the advantages, disadvantages, what it actually means.
Yes.
Because there are so many different definitions, and you have car manufacturers that sort of wanted to go one way and then they wanted to go another way and tell you that, you know, the definition of battery charged, I suppose, you know, you could talk about a few definitions, but to try and make it as easy as possible. A fully electric car is a car that has a plug, right?
It
doesn't have a fuel tank of any description.
Yeah.
It's purely powered off batteries.
And something like what Patricia has then is a hybrid. Is it Yaris hybrid, is it?
It's a cross.
I don't mean any disrespect here now, Trishan, but the manufacturer of the car that you have are pushing this narrative in relation to sort of hybrids. Now, the battery that is in your car is probably less than 1 kilowatt. Capacity, kilowatt hour, I think, is the technical capacity.
We used to call them units in the old days, didn't we?
I was never good at sums, so anybody that knows the definitions better can argue with me.
So should have 1 kilowatt battery.
Yeah, but we'll say your car needs petrol to go. If I'll explain to you like this. If a fully electric car has no electricity in it, it won't go. If your hybrid car has no petrol in it, you won't be able to start it.
Yeah.
Okay? You can go around town or you can go in urban areas and you can get regeneration into the small little battery and they'll tell you it's driving on hybrid. And it does, in fairness, a little bit. But your car still needs petrol, or there are diesel hybrids as well, to go.
Yeah.
So, then you get the people that argue that, oh, you know, there's young 9 and 10 year olds sort of digging up rare metals out in sort of, Malaysia to sort of make the components for electric car batteries. And on some occasions that has happened. But there are, like everything else, it's a technology that is evolving. And once things start to hit sort of saturation you get market penetration and that the numbers start to increase, that the advances begin to increase. I compare it to the vinyl LP and the cassette tape and the CD. Now, the CD arrived roughly around 1984, did not get mass popularity until the late 80s, early 90s. And then what happened was vinyl and cassette sales plummeted and CDs in the majority. It will take a while longer for it to go that way with regards to fully battery cars. But there are a number of topics, Tom, that you probably want to maybe discuss, and it's not for everyone.
No.
And that needs to be pointed out at the very start. But for the majority of people, and I would even include our rural people in that, if you have a certain number of, if you want to say, boxes that you tick, there should be no reason why you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the people that have done it up to now are probably early adopters. And I would say up to last year, you had, was a bit of a change. The numbers were increasing of people that were buying purely electric. But you had a combination of events in that the prices of the cars had gone up significantly. No, they're not
they
cheap.
They were scarce, of course. I waited 6 months for mine.
Yeah, but yeah. No, they're not cheap, yeah. But the prices did go up mm-hmm. to a stupid extent. And you have this rare event that has happened the tail end of last year and into this year. And it's mainly caused by Tesla, which I'll come back to in a minute, in that now new prices for electrics have come down. Yeah. And in a lot of cases, they have come down by a significant amount, up to and slightly over 10,000
yes,
euros
yeah, yeah.
in price for what would be called a small family car.
Yeah.
So they are now at a stage where they were prior to the war in Ukraine.
Yes.
Right? And the gap between, if you were to say, right, I have 30,000 euros and I want to buy a new car.
Yeah.
What can I buy? And, you know, it depends, what are your family needs? Do you have family? Are you on your own? Or, you know, are you traveling to Dublin 5 days of the week?
Yeah.
And between, up to last year, there were very few cars in the sub 35,000 euro yeah, category.
Yeah, yeah.
Ironically, one of the ones that came in was MG, which they're a Chinese brand, even though most people would know MG as a car manufacturer.
British sports British, car.
Yeah, from years ago. But yeah. Basically, the Chinese have bought up a lot of naming rights, shall we say.
Yeah.
You know, they own Volvo as well now. And they have brought in a car, which is... it's the MG4, which is comparable. It's slightly bigger than a Golf,
yeah,
than a Volkswagen
yeah, yeah.
Golf, a hatchback car.
Yeah.
And that came in under 30,000,
yeah.
right? And that has, if you want to get back into the kilowatt hours, battery sizes, was I think a 58 kilowatt battery, which would be good for at least 300 kilometres.
Definitely get you safe to Dublin in any
conditions. Absolutely, to get
yeah.
you half back down as well.
Yeah,
and the great line that people would have, well, the bladder would need to stop before the car needs
and you need a cup of coffee as well, yeah.
Indeed, yeah. You know, and we said that's one of the things, you know, and there's now a lot of, the equivalent with the European manufacturers, the likes of, Volkswagen. The ID3 is effectively a fully electric replacement for the Golf.
Yes.
Right? And whereas before the war in Ukraine, you could buy one of those for about 34, 35.
Yeah.
They had gone up to 45, 46.
Yeah.
You're now back in the level where you could say about 35, 36.
Starting at that.
Yeah, would start at that. And
yeah.
if you, the advantages of this time are going to come in a few years, because any new car that you buy, petrol, hybrid, you know, whether it's a Jag, a Rolls-Royce, or, you know, a small little car, in about 3 years, your car is worth half of what you paid for it.
Well, definitely if you buy the top marks, and I'm talking about even the Beamers or whatever, or yeah. the Mercedes, but the first year they're going to
yeah.
significantly...
But any car. So
yeah.
So if we're to wind the clock on a little
yeah.
bit, and there is a lot of pushback in relation to electric at the minute, and I think it's going to be relatively temporary.
Yeah.
Because... if I said to you in 2-3 years' time, there are going to be a number of cars that are on the market that would get you, you know, 300-350 kilometres range per charge
yeah.
for about between probably 15 and 20,000 euros.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would be interested
oh, yeah,
in that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people consider them initially as a second car.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
you know, they said that they weren't doing sort of long runs or anything like that. But I think most people, once they understand the limitations, and there are a certain number of limitations, but if you sit back and think of it, they're not that bad.
Yeah. One of the big things that scared a lot of people was range anxiety.
Yeah, but like...
did you ever get stranded?
No.
Neither did I. Do you know anyone who did?
No, I don't. But I have stranded myself previously in a petrol.
Oh, yeah, we all have done that. Yeah. Go for the little can or a bottle or something.
Yeah, twice. But
yeah.
I've driven it fairly close to the limit, all right.
Well, so I've tried it too. I got it down
yeah.
to 2 kilometres and it didn't
yeah.
seem to drop
well,
any lower.
Well, I got down to 0% at one stage, but
yeah.
it's a little bit like, you know, I think yeah. they sort of know the paddy might be there. If you're at zero, you might have a kilometre or two range left, just in case. But... the range anxiety is a term that a lot of people have used and said, oh, there are no charging points, or there's no this, or there's no why. Yeah. And this is where I'd say that it's not for everybody. But if you live, if you either are renting your house or you own your house and you're off, we'll say, the main street, and if you can park your car around your house,
driveway or whatever,
you never need to have range anxiety. No. And you never need to go looking for a charging station, because if you put in a charger, you have your supply at home.
Yes.
And the whole concept behind it, and this is where sometimes Paddy's a little bit slow to sort of figure things out. If I have a car that will do 300 kilometres, how many days in the year am I doing more than 300 kilometres in any one day?
Yes.
Right? So the argument is, I'm driving to Portlaoise and I'm driving back again.
Yeah.
Right? So if I do that and I start off and the battery is a quarter full, well, I'm going to need to
stop somewhere.
Yeah. However, if I knew yesterday that I was going to Portlaoise tomorrow, I would plug the car in overnight.
You'd also have it filled with petrol or diesel, if the case.
Well, yeah, but I'd plug it in, I'd have it fully charged, I'd drive up to Portlaoise, I'd come back, and I would still have range left.
Yeah. And of course, the cheapest electricity is at home.
Absolutely.
Night rate.
Yeah, and we're still a long way off from the point of view of where we should be in relation to this whole thing with smart meters, and that's that's another argument for another day. But if you
and the two-way meters, two-way batteries,
that is coming. Yeah, but like,
sorry, what do you mean by a two-way battery?
You'd have a situation, Patricia Ann, where. The example I give you is if the wind and is blowing and there's a power cut, you would be able to charge, power your house from your car, that you can use the batteries in your car to power your house. Yeah.
And in time, and I think, does it happen in England at the moment? Where, let's say, peak time apparently for electricity usage is between, is it 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock?
Well, that's the whole thing that they say. But there are companies in the UK, Octopus are one, and this is where we go back. My big bugbear, we'll say, it was in relation to, we'll say, the whole pricing of electricity, is they're all on about, you know, wind farms, wind, all the rest of it, and that, you know, be generating electricity. And we say wind is a lot cheaper when you get to scale. But at the minute, we have a situation where we are literally telling the companies that have turbines to turn them off at night because there isn't enough usage for
them. We can't do anything with electricity.
Yeah. Whereas what they should be doing is, and it can be done with this smart metering, to sort of say, right, lads, instead of sort of charging your car maybe during the day, that we will give you an incentive to sort of charge at night time.
Give us some of your battery.
And you get it back at night, you know.
But then if you have the solar panels as well, you can charge your car.
You can, and again, this is where the smart people will tell you that with the way that it is at the moment, if you are on the correct rate for cheaper electricity at night, it can actually be more beneficial for you to send all the electricity that you generate off your panels back to the grid. Because you will get what's called an export. And depending on the company that you're with, you're getting between 18 and 24 cent a unit from the electric companies to export a unit of electricity.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, if you could buy a unit back at night rate for about 10 cent, you're actually making 14 cent. Yeah. So, you know, again, it goes back.
You're trading in electricity.
You're trading, yeah. But there are benefits to be got from it.
Yeah.
And this is where you need the buy-in. But I said our electricity provider in the country is a little bit slow to sort of be at the races in relation to that. Now, apparently, in a few years' time, there are more regulations coming in that will make it more attractive. Because at the minute, and this does not make sense, there's most people in a normal house would be on a 24-hour meter, which means that the cost of electricity that you pay, it could be, say, 33, 35 cent. It's that cost 24/7.
Yeah.
You have people that are on what's called night rate electricity.
We were on that for years.
Yeah, and they're trying to do away with it, Tom, for the reasons I will tell you.
Yeah.
Which basically means that from 11 o'clock at night to 8 in the winter and midnight to 9 a.m. in the summer, you're on a cheaper rate.
Yeah.
And you could be paying your day rate of, we'll say, 34, 35, but you could pay a night rate of maybe 10 to 15 cents. So this is where the concept of you charge your car at night, that it's cheaper to do it at night. Mm. And the whole thing with smart meters is, and this is where, if a smart meter is actually smart, you would think that, we'll say, they could give you proper smart rates. And they've started introducing these things where they were giving you a 2-hour window at night time between 2 and 4 to, you know, at a cheap rate. Now, a 2-hour window isn't that great if you wanted to charge your car, right? We'll say your charge point that you put into your normal house will charge your car at 7 kilowatts.
That's the standard.
Per hour. So it basically means that in 2 hours, give or take maybe a bit of a unit for losses, you would put 14 kilowatts of energy into your car. Now, if you have a car that has a 60 kilowatt battery, that means you're only filling it up a quarter.
That'll bring you, in summertime with a light car, to nearly bring you 100 kilometres, wouldn't it?
It would probably give you 70, 80, no problem. But my point is, Tom, that if the smart meter hours were longer, you would be able to fill your car more. Now, I got changed over, I had no choice. I got a smart meter installed back in November, and I used to be on a day-night rate, but the companies...
I thought you had a choice that you could kind of refuse to.
Well, you can, but if you have panels,
they
won't pay you. So,
they have you everywhere.
Well, this is my point. Yeah. I said that if you want to buy in, you need to be, you need the carrot. You need to be dangling a carrot to people.
Yes.
So, before the war in Ukraine, I was paying a night rate of about 8 cents.
Yes.
Okay, and if I was to renew my contract last year, it would have been 22 cents for night rate. Now, that's very significant. And you talk about, the cost of filling up your car and all the rest of it, more than filling up with a litre of petrol. Whereas I'm now on a smart rate, which gives me 4 hours of cheaper electricity. During the night, and I pay a higher rate during the day.
Yes.
But because, we'll say, if I've now sort of decided I plug the car in every few nights, let it charge up, it's not as ideal as it should be, because I'm still being penalised more during the day.
Yeah.
For extra usage.
You have panels anyway. Have you?
Well, I do, yeah.
And an average day, can you get enough from the panels to do your needs?
I would say that in the next few weeks, from, we say, the middle of March to the middle of October, now, again, people need to understand that panels aren't the be-all and end-all of everything as well. Ireland being Ireland, and, it does get dark during the winter, that you would generate very
little. We have 30 days will reduce, but they still work.
Still work to a lesser extent. But again, it's like the technology has come on in relation to panels. We say the capacity of a panel 5 years ago compared to the capacity of a panel now is bigger. But that's a whole energy debate. We say, if we're trying to keep it onto the cars, and you're talking about basics. If you're talking the price of a litre of petrol is diesel is roughly around 170.
Yeah.
At the minute now, the equivalent cost, if you charge at home, right? If you can charge your car at home, it's probably about 30 cents.
Yes, even less, I'd say, maybe.
If you're talking range, that's what you're talking about. But then you have the public charging network, or lack of public charging network, that people will come out with. And I know we were down in Burt Hill the other evening, and it's just to give people a comparison. It's my point in relation to the cheapest charger that you will get for your house. Or for your car is your house at home.
Yes.
Right. So the car that I have currently has a 60 kilowatt hour battery. Right. So if you do the sums and say, if I'm paying 10 cent a unit and it's 60 kilowatts, that's basically 60 units of electricity. So it costs me about €6 to fill it. from empty to full, if you know, if that, yeah, that's what yeah. it was. And for that, I will get in winter, you will get, because we said the range does decrease in winter, but it's the same with a petrol or a diesel engine, except people don't maybe realise it as much, that you know they're not as efficient.
The analogy I always use, you know, if you're on a farm, you go out in a cold, frosty morning and try and start the tractor.
Yeah.
Yeah, the battery is lazy.
Well, it can be. Well,
whereas if the battery is warmer.
Yeah, well, true, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, we can all be lazy.
We can relate to that, you know. Yeah. You didn't grow up on a farm, did you?
No, God, no. But I emphasise with the lazy bit, though.
lazy battery.
Yeah, exactly. But if you were to compare it, right, we'll say that €6 will say to fill my car.
Yeah.
Now, if you said that a litre of petrol or diesel is 170, so that's the equivalent of saying, right, you're getting 3 litres of petrol, maybe 3/4 of a gallon of petrol.
Yes.
So, most petrol or diesel cars, we've said 60 miles to the gallon. I'm being a bit generous maybe with that. So if you say it's 3/4 of that, that's 45 miles.
Yeah.
Okay. I will get the equivalent of maybe 170, 180 miles for the same price in electricity in my car.
The example I will give you now, the second vehicle we have is a Touareg, and it is a big enough diesel engine in it. And comparing that to the EV we have, it's 10 times more expensive on average to run the diesel than it is to run the electric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like there are other advantages as well in that the servicing costs on the cars are less because there's actually less parts in them. Now, there are issues sometimes in relation to insurance, and it's a thing that I think will probably pop its head up a little bit more. It's in the UK at the minute, in that when people have accidents in an electric car, and I think it's partly because insurance companies aren't fully sure what to do. Now, obviously, the batteries in most cars are sort of stored, would say, under the seats.
Yes.
Is the easiest way to explain it. And if you get a bad enough bang in the car, they're writing off the cost of the battery pack. And the battery pack is the dearest part of an electric car, and it's probably about 40-50% of the actual value of the car.
And can be recycled.
Well, they can, yeah. But we'll say if you're in an accident and we say they get damaged, the insurance companies are writing off the full cost of the batteries. Now, like everything, the battery isn't just one big block. It's made up of modules.
Yes.
And you could say that if, you know, if the back side of the car got hit, maybe 10 to 20% of the battery modules might have got bent or
yes.
something yeah. may have happened, but the rest of the battery would be recyclable. But the insurance companies are writing off the whole cost of it. So you have a scenario where you can have electric cars are getting written off, the full car is getting written off, and that's putting up premiums sometimes. Yeah. But that's one thing just to bear in mind.
Well, hopefully, the market will sort itself out in a few years, you'd hope.
You would hope.
Mind you, the insurance companies always stay safe, don't they?
Indeed, yeah, indeed. But that's one potential yeah. disadvantage. But the advantages are you have less servicing costs, you know, you're not pressing on the brakes as much, you have less moving parts in the car, you know, and your servicing costs are a bit less, and you know, you'll happily go along. And people go on about the batteries won't last for 50,000 miles or stuff like that. The manufacturers are guaranteeing that the batteries will have about 70% of their range after 8 years, or maybe 150,000 to 200,000 kilometres. So that doesn't mean that once you pass 200,000 kilometres that your battery now won't go or your car won't go. Yeah. What it would mean is that when you drive it out of the forecourt day one and you say it has a range of 300 kilometres, that in 7 or 8 years' time, when you have a big lump of mileage put up on it, it might do 250. That's it. It's still going to go for you.
Well, our electric, we have passed 140,000 kilometres at this stage, and I don't see any degradation and drop in range in it,
That's a fine example of a topic. Yeah. You know, and so you're a bit of an outlier in that, you know, your car is what, three years old?
3 years old, yeah. I haven't been doing high mileage before work.
Yeah, but like you're the perfect example of how you can do it.
And you
haven't fallen off the cliff, the car hasn't fallen off the cliff, it's still possible to do it.
Been a few little issues, but I can't drive the car for that.
But you have the situation, see, again, it's not for everybody. You say, you know, your car is bigger and has a
78 kilowatt
bigger battery, which will, you know, theoretically get you a little bit further,
but it's also a bit heavier
down the line. Mm-hmm. So there are there's pros and cons, but if you can start your day with your battery being sufficient to get you to where you want and to get you home, and you can charge it overnight, it is the cheapest way to run a car.
It is.
You know, so while Shoshan, the hybrids would say, will have their place. But again, this is what I'm saying. It's not for everybody. And I said, you know, your hybrid car is probably still...
suits your needs perfect, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's still probably 5,000 or 6,000 cheaper than what a comparable electric is.
Well, was the point. If I could have afforded it, I would have liked to have bought an electric car. Oh. But I really didn't think at that point that I could, because they were really expensive.
Yeah.
And there were grants at one stage, but they phased those out.
Well, there is still a grant, and like everything else in this country, when you get grants, you know, the prices sort of tend to increase. Now, it's a grant that basically the government has given, and it's, we'd say, to the manufacturers. It was €5,000 up to a value of about maybe 50 or 60,000 euros, and they brought it down to 3,500. But the grant is still there. Mm-hmm. And I think, in a way, until that grant is removed, you're not going to have proper competition price-wise.
Yeah,
you know,
like we said,
Tesla upset everybody last year when they brought down the price of, we'll say, the Model Y, which is their sort of big seller now. It's a big car, big family car. It's a six-seater, and they brought the price of that down significantly worldwide.
Yeah.
And the knock-on effect that it has had is that the other manufacturers had to bring their prices down, because we say when the Model Y is the car that launched in Ireland in 2022, and the cheapest one at that stage was about €66,000.
Yeah.
And the middle of last year, you could buy one for about 45,000-46,000. Right.
Yeah.
So you've had the rare event in Ireland where prices have actually came down.
Of course, they're scaling up their production.
Correct.
The production are coming down as well.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Now, so you could argue, well, okay, if Tesla can do that and still make money, the European manufacturers have been sort of pulling the wool over our eyes and sort of just trying to make a truckload of money as well. Now, the legacy manufacturers, their costs are inherently higher. We'll say Tesla is a purely electric car manufacturer. They don't make petrol or diesel engines, and they're on the go maybe 10, 15 years at this stage. So the European manufacturers, especially the likes of Volkswagen, Peugeot, Renault, Citroen, they're trying to catch up and... not doing as good a job of it as they could be, but they are getting there.
They're getting there. And the choice of, you have a much bigger choice of electric cars now, haven't you?
Well, 5 years ago, Tom, I think there were about 14 actual cars that you could have bought. And I just had a look at the stats there a few days ago, and there's currently 90 electric cars of all descriptions that you can now buy. And, you know, we said the MG4, if somebody was looking to buy a car in the €30,000 range, and this is new cost now, and you could be trading or whatever else like that, that is a car that you would have to take a serious look at.
And of course, the other brand the Chinese are introduced here in the last 6 to 12 months, BYD.
Well,
that's very competitive.
Most people will never have heard of BYD. Okay.
That's what the ad says.
and they're called Build Your Dreams.
Yes.
But they are actually... And again, they're a Chinese company. They are the biggest manufacturer of electric cars in the world, right? And that up to about 2 or 3 months ago, no one in Ireland, except a few of us that sort of keep an eye on things, had ever heard of them.
Yes.
And their sales alone, they sort of had like a soft launch. MG basically had their launch at the start of 2023 with their car. So they've had, we'll say, the MG4, which is the equivalent, we'll say, of a Golf size. They have an MG3 coming out shortly.
And an MG5 will, is there as well.
Yeah, the MG5 is there. But the MG3 will be sort of like back to, maybe the size of a Clio, a Ford Fiesta, that type of size. But Build Your Dreams have, is it the Atto, the Seal, and the Dolphin?
Dolphin is a new small one.
So the names are a little bit funky. But
I've sat in all three of them, and the spec in them is quite good. Quite good.
Well, I just looked at the stats for the first 2 months of the year, and they've sold over 500 cars here, and which is significant for a manufacturer that no one sort of really knew about them. Shortly, so you are having a situation where the Chinese are manufacturers are coming in and are going to take significant percentage sales, you know, and we say Volkswagen especially have been under pressure.
Yeah.
And Volkswagen had to bring their prices back down. Like sales of the ID4, Tom, you would say the car that you have, are down 50% from last year.
Yeah.
But at the end of last year, they've realized that they had to bring their prices down. And again, they're down to a more realistic level. So I think things will level up. But certainly the Seal is the equivalent of a Model 3, which is a big car, a big saloon, be like a Mondeo back in the day. And then the Atto is the SUV, and I think the Atto,
very smart looking car, is that in it? Beautiful car.
The Atto is probably the equivalent of, we'll say, a Hyundai Tucson or a Nissan Qashqai, and I think that's what you were sort of looking at. And what price were they?
Well, if you go to the top spec in it, you're talking about 41,000, but it's very well spec to that.
Yeah. Well, if you're
the top range of the Dolphin, I think is slightly over 31,000 or something.
Yeah.
Also well spec.
Yeah, but if you're looking to buy an equivalent Qashqai or you know, Tucson. You're paying the same money. So if you have the facilities where you know you charge at home. Now I said if you're living in an apartment, obviously that's not going to be potentially an option for you. You know, but if you're talking about rural Ireland, you know, most of us are living, you know, in an area where the cartilage of your house, you could put, you know, you put a charger on the wall.
Yes.
And if you can charge the car close.
And that's one of the advantages for rural people, I suppose, for EVs.
It is. But again, you know, there's a bit of education is needed. And like the car manufacturers and the garages and the salespeople are some of the biggest culprits in relation to this, because a lot of them aren't fully aware. They're selling a product that they aren't fully aware of, or what the capabilities and what the disadvantages of it are. Like I've come across a few people, you know, that the odd time, you know, if you are using the charging network outside, where they don't know how to sort of plug in the car. They don't know.
Yeah. I found it too.
Do I need an app or whatever like that? And they said, when did you buy the car? Oh, I picked it up last week. And I said, did the salesman say anything to you? No.
Yeah.
Like it's one of the things, I hope, Trisha, and when you got your car, that the salesman sort of showed you around, showed you the buttons and stuff like that, that would work. But literally, sort of say, right, this is where you plug it in. This is how you charge it. And if you're going to go to a charge point, we'd say the main ones around the country that are sort of the ESB network, we'll say, of chargers. They have an app and it's relatively simple to use. Back in the day, you needed a card, you know, and you had to to send off for the card, and then you tap the card, and it's like everything now. There is legislation coming in, I think, that's in by the end of 2025, where every charge point in the country has to be tap and go compatible.
With your credit card or your
your card. Now, Tom, we were down in Burt Hill the other day, and there are. So most people might know there are Tesla chargers down there, but Apple Green have installed two of their own chargers as well, which can charge four cars at any one time. And those machines have a tap-to-pay facility on them. But, Patricia, and this is the thing again, and I suppose they're being clever, that if you download the Apple Green app, you get your electricity for a little bit cheaper than if you sort of use the tap and go. So that you pay.
It's like a loyalty card idea.
Yeah, it is, But we'll say the difference I would say to you is that the cost of loyalty compared to charging at home is quite significant, because currently, if you put 1 kilowatt of electricity into your car at Apple Green, it's costing you 68 cent, right? Whereas if I can charge it at home, it's costing 10. That's the equivalent. But anyway,
look,
we're running out of time. Just wanted to ask you, what about hydrogen cars? I heard somewhere on the radio the other day that Volvo, are not really pushing the Polestar as much, and they're moving into they're going to move into hydrogen.
Well, there's a potential for hydrogen, I think, for trucks. I don't think, for cars. Like, if you look at how long it has taken people to get the infrastructure for electricity, you know, and every house in the country has electricity, hydrogen's a whole other kettle of fish. It may or may not. The whole thing in relation to Money Point, they have this thing that they may be able to store electricity as hydrogen when they get the turbines up and running.
We might not see it.
I doubt it very much. It would involve proper planning. Listen, I'll shut up. I'll shut up. I know you've other people you want to talk to here, so I'll leave you.
Look, we could have spent all morning here, so thanks for coming in and sharing some of your experiences. And I hope our listeners picked up something from that, you know. So you can stay with your